Blog Talk Radio.
Long time, but just want to wish my nephew a
happy birthday. I just wish him a happy birthday on his Facebook page because he's not here with us this morning. But it seemed like just yesterday he was a bouncing baby, bright-eyed, and just always in the light and always happy to see Aunt Beth. I don't think he's always happy to see her now these days, but I've always loved my nephew and support him and wish him the best and much success and many birthdays and just to celebrate and have a blast of a good time today and every day. And my nieces and other nephew, which lives in St. Louis, and, of course, you all know my eldest female niece. My eldest niece lives in Big D, so wishing her to get well soon also. We didn't see each other when I was there for my work in vacay, but she was recently injured. Spilled hot tea on her lap and burnt her lap, but she's doing fine. I see last night she was eating a lot of fruit, and she's a big fan of Downtown Abbey, so I see what she was watching there while I was enjoying the Golden Globes. Well, I very seldom talk about family members and certain close friends, so I stop right now, not without their permission, because if they want to talk about their lives, they'll call into the show, right? Right, but I just want to wish my nephew a happy birthday, and we're going to talk about the Golden Globes and all that good stuff and other good things that are happening also. So a big shout-out to everyone worldwide, the Mark community, my friends in the beauty, fashion, entertainment industry, and those of you that are helping me with my transition of getting back to Dallas. I can't believe it's taken me this long to get back to Dallas. And the other day I mentioned, like, okay, if I didn't decide to return to Dallas and go back and forth from Jackson to Dallas, like I used to do in my teens and 20s, what other cities that interest me? Well, there are other Texas cities that that entice me, like the capital, like Houston, San Antonio. But then also New Orleans would have probably been my next choice, which I would visit New Orleans real soon. I haven't been there in ages. I used to go there so much. That's the first place my parents, before they split, when I was one, took me. And also Miami cities, like, I mean, Florida cities like Miami, Tampa, Tallahassee, Pensacola. You know, I do need to visit Disney World, but I don't see myself moving to Orlando, even though I like Orlando the couple of times I've been there. You all know my strange. I don't know where my second husband is, but that was the last known place to me, even though I have a lot of friends and business contacts there. I have a friend there and I'm having fun at Disney World. I ain't been there so long. I love amusement parks. And I was telling one of my friends that I was added to the advisory board of Six Flags of Arlington about a year ago, so now I can get opportunity to do what advisory board members do and just participate in focus groups and other stuff, you know, because, hey, if you don't use it, you lose it, right? So if I'm not really being active, they might say, hey, well, you don't need to be on the advisory board panel anymore, but I'm going to go ahead and do my part to participate in all the duties that advisory board members of Six Flags of Arlington do also. But, again, thank you for tuning in. It is very, very cold here. Yesterday morning it was about 71 degrees. This morning, no, it's freezing. Winter storm alert going on. One school, a college, Holmes Community College, decided to close all of their campuses because of the bad weather. So it's freezing rain, ice, and everything everywhere. And yesterday, you know, we had a couple of wrecks. I know one at least where a driver passed away, wrecked his car and died in the rain. So today is going to be freezing rain and ice cold, winter storm alert. But these weather changes is not good and healthy, right, for people. People already are getting sick. And then temperature dropping 40 degrees in a matter of within 24 hours or something. It was hot yesterday morning because we turned the air conditioner on. Before nighttime, we were turning the heater on. That's how the weather changed so much on yesterday. But, again, I love to broadcast Motivating Monday because of Shock Entertainment Reports, and It's always fun talking about entertainment, lifestyle, and music news stories. And, you know, on Mondays we always talk about physical fitness and health topics especially. And this is a day to always encourage and inspire and motivate. We're really not going to do a lot of talking, but we're going to talk about the Golden Globes. You all know that. I think that show was on point. I loved it. Some of you might not had, but I loved the broadcast last night. It was very diverse. And I hope that the Oscars, a favorite of mine, is just as diverse as the Golden Globes was last night. And kept me laughing, and the presenters were amazing, the hosts were amazing, the nominees and winners were amazing. It was just a fantastic show. Right before airtime, I was looking at the Huffington Post Best and Worst Dressed list. So we're going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about the winners and the nominations. And my Facebook friends was like, wait a second, did Jodie Foster just come out? You know, I thought her speech was so touching. It was so long. And, you know, she started it with, I need you guys' help, I'm single. And then at the end, she said she was lonely. But more so than her coming out was the fact that it sounded like she announced her retirement from the screen. Also, I don't hear people talking about that, but she talked. It sounded like to me that she talked about her retirement from the screen, not her retirement from show business and for being a humanitarian, but that it would be a long wait if we were looking forward to seeing her on the big screen. But, you know, it's because she did say, well, I might have a smaller mic or something like that sort in her hand in the near future. So, but one thing about it, she's always been amazing. I've loved her work since I was a little girl, and I'm 44, and she's 50. She's a little older than me, and she's always been one of my favorite actresses since I was a little girl, and she as a young girl also. But which she and her kids and her co-partner the best. And those, at least she didn't say she was leaving the business. She just said she wouldn't be seen on screen also. And and congratulations to her also for coming out. Awesome. So, wow. Okay, but thank you. The number is 714-409-0614. And you know what? If you don't have a Blog Talk Radio listener profile account, you should create you one so you can not only chat in the chat room but also interact within the blogtalkradio.com, the entire community. I have my favorite shows, and I know that there are other shows that that are your faves or other shows that you should dig, you know? Because I put digging other shows when I was a listener of Houston-based rapper on the Flip Show, Flyboy Radio, and also Brian Cuban's radio show, Revolution Rant, and also Sexy India's show and a few other shows. And I have, it's kind of crazy because you see many of us are big fans and supporters of one another's shows. And a big shout out to Ebony Empress in the UK, and thank her again for having me as a live guest, on-air guest on her show on New Year's Day when I was in Dallas for my working vacay. And I was at Northport Center Mall and doing my best to bust my buns to get back to my room so I could call in her show and all that good stuff. So she calls my show regularly, but you might not hear my voice, but I'm often in her chat room. Her topics are amazing topics. She's a love, a relationship expert, and as did her guests, and those in the chat room are always having a blast of a good time. Well, I kick the show off with America by Andre Simone, a former bandmate of Prince's. Well, here's Brown Mork, another former bandmate of Prince.
Battles and fighting home. His only example was a hard man, a drunk man. he was troubled, beat his mother, he didn't understand. He packed up and moved on, met a girl not before long. He fell in love and was too afraid to let her in. He said, I want you to wait outside, I can't decide if I can let you in. Don't wanna tell you lies and ruin your life, cause something's in my closet. Down on a woman, especially one who loved true and always there. A burning fire deep inside sometimes takes him over when she's only playing and it makes him scared. He just wants to love like anybody else, but he's afraid to let her in.
Don't tell it again. Happy birthday to everyone who's celebrating a birthday and anniversaries and all good stuff. And if you're going through something sad, then I'm going to send love and hugs also to you also. Today is one of my favorite musicians' birthday, and there's a lot of favorite people's birthday today. Rock singer musician Dave Grohl, Foo Fighters. He's 44 today. Love him. Love Foo Fighters. Loved him when he was with Nirvana. Jack Jones, singer, 75. Alan Toussaint, R&B singer, songwriter, 75. Julian Bond's birthday is today. He's 73. Civil rights activist. If you don't know who he is, you better Google and study. Julian Bond. Faye Dunaway, another favorite of mine. Actress, 72. I remember when she was here for the chamber, and I was an extra background actress, and it was just fun observing and seeing how she worked and how others that she worked with react to her actions. Holland Taylor, but I loved her since I was a little girl, too. Holland Taylor, actress, 70. T-Bone Burnett, rock singer, producer, 65. Carl Weathers, 65. Lawrence Kasdan, screenwriter, director, 64. Maureen Dowd, columnist, 61. Shepard Smith, of course, Oxford, Mississippi native. A big timer with the Fox, with Fox News, broadcast journalist, the Fox Report. He's 49. Emily Watson, actress, 46. LL Cool J, ladies love Cool James, rapper, actor, he's 45. Anybody that knows me knows I'm a longtime supporter of LL Cool J and his work. Much love to him and his family. Jason Bateman, actor, Arrested Development, 44. Caleb Followill, rock musician, Kings of Leon, 31. Love that band. Jack Gifford, actor, The Mob Doctor, Friday Night Lights, is 31. And director Steven Soderbergh turns 50 years young today. And today in history, this day in 2011, Tunisian protesters enraged over soaring unemployment and corruption drove President Zain El Abidine Ben Ali from power after 23 years of iron fist rule. And in 1639, Connecticut's first constitution, the Fundamental Orders, was adopted. 1784, the United States ratified a peace treaty with England, ending the Revolutionary War. Charles Lutwidge Dodge, son, who wrote Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, under the pen name Lewis Carroll, died in Guildford, England at age 64. And in 1952, on this day, guess what? NBC's Today Show premiered. So they're celebrating an anniversary today also, along with talking about the Golden Globes last night. And they did a great job last night on the red carpet interviewing and talking with the celebrities. In 1953, Josip Broz Tito was elected president of Yugoslavia by the country's parliament. In 1954, baseball player Joe DiMaggio and actress Marilyn Monroe were married in San Francisco City Hall. And in 63, George C. Wallace was sworn in as governor of Alabama with pledge of segregation forever, but he did change that tune, right? A shout-out to those of you that have called in to listen and those my friends in the chat room also. A lot of times my friends worldwide are listening as they work or do they, you know, do their daily duties. 1970, Diana Ross and the Supremes performed their last concert together at the Frontier Hotel in Las Vegas. 1993, late-night TV talk show host David Letterman announced he was moving to NBC to CBS. Wow, that's been almost 20 years. I'm telling you, it seemed like just yesterday. I know that was very controversial. 1994, President Bill Clinton and Russian President Boris Yeltsin signed accords in Moscow to stop aiming missiles at any nation and to dismantle the nuclear arsenal of Ukraine. 2004, former Enron finance chief Andrew Bestow pleaded guilty to conspiracy as he accepted a 10-year prison sentence. 2004, J.P. Morgan Chase & Company struck a deal to buy Bank One Corp for $58 billion. And in 2004, President George W. Bush unveiled a plan to send astronauts to the moon, Mars, and beyond. In 2005, Army Specialist Charles Graner Jr., the reputed ringleader of a band of rogue guards at the Abu Ghraib prison, was convicted at Fort Hood, Texas, of abusing a record detainees. He was later sentenced to 10 years in prison. 05, a European space probe sent back the first detailed pictures of the frozen surface of Saturn's moon, Titan. And in 08, Republican Bobby Jindal, the first elected Indian-American governor in the United States, took office in Louisiana. And thank you to the Mississippi Association, Indian Association of Mississippi, for sending me info regarding celebration of Republic Day also. But yes, just checking out news. So we will find out next Sunday evening who will be going to the Super Bowl, and that is great. Remember that when you call in, if you would like to make a comment or speak, press 1. That notifies me that you would like to make a comment or speak, because you can just call in to listen. I'll be honest, I do that often.
I am a face of influenza.
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 We all are faces of influenza.
I'm a mom. And I'm a face of influenza. Health officials now recommend everyone 6 months of age and older get immunized against influenza this
and every year.
Vaccination is safe and is the best way to help protect yourself and your family from contracting and spreading the flu.
We all are faces of influenza.
See your healthcare provider about getting immunized. The American Lung Association urges everyone 6 months of age and older, and we mean everyone, to get vaccinated. Visit facesofinfluenza.org. Influenza is serious. So are we. Get vaccinated.
I love this song. Beautiful Stranger.
Stranger.
Thank you.
man, just like you.
Hola, soy Thalía. Muchos de ustedes me conocen como actriz, cantante y artista, pero mi papel más importante es el de ser mamá. March of Dimes me ayudó con excelente información durante mi embarazo. Cada año más de 500,000 de bebés nacen muy temprano y sufren serios problemas de salud de por vida. Yo apoyo a March of Dimes porque deseo ayudar a que esto cambie. Ayude a combatir el nacimiento prematuro. Visite nacersano.org.
Hi, I'm Shawn Johnson, Olympic gymnast. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, but I went on to win gold. Every baby deserves that chance, to grow up and shine. That's what March of Dimes is all about. Help me and the March of Dimes fight premature birth and birth defects. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies. To get involved or to make a gift, visit marchofdimes.com.
Hello, good morning. How are you? What's your name and where
good
are you calling
morning.
From?
Good morning. Good morning.
Hello.
This is Callie. I missed the Golden Globe discussion probably. I know I did. I logged on and I had to run out and I came back. I'm like, I know I'm going to miss it. You guys already discussed the Golden Globe.
Well, it's ongoing. Yeah, it's ongoing because I haven't talked about the article regarding the best and the worst. And I happen to like, enjoyed it. What about you? Did you watch it?
I watched bits and pieces of it, and then what I missed, I caught clips of. I was surprised that Zero Dark Thirty didn't get a lot of awards. I thought that got snubbed at the thing. I don't know.
You know what? I hadn't seen it yet, but I was kind of surprised also.
I mean, they were feeling Les Miserella. You don't have me speaking tongue on this one. Les Miserella.
Oh. How I pronounced that movie.
See, they were feeling that one. They were feeling the Lincoln movie, and they were feeling Argo, you know, and stuff like that. And Ben Affleck, keep in mind that they didn't even mention him in the nominations, but he came away and he won that thing, you know. So that was so I always did like Ben Affleck, you know, because him and the other brother were directing independent films. So, you know, I'm doing independent films myself now. So, you know, on Indiegogo.com, I'm investing in some projects and stuff like that. So I support the arts. So that's why I like Ben Affleck, and I'm glad he won for Argo.
Let me stop you right there because we need more information regarding your independent film project, okay? Tell us more.
Well, you can go online and catch the trailer of it and stuff like that. It's called Chrysalis. I did that with Nia. I don't have to mess up her last name. But if y'all just go on YouTube and just type in Chrysalis and type in Nia and stuff like that. I'm having a brain fart right now, but we did an indie film about
Chris Alice.
Excuse me?
Chris Allen or Chris Alice?
No, her, it's called Chrysalis, like a butterfly that's trapped inside of a cocoon. It's called Chrysalis.
Yeah.
Nia Malika Dixon directed the movie. I'm an executive producer on it. And her name is Nia Malika Dixon.
Okay, it's about you. We want to know your full name.
I'm sorry. This is Dean. So
yeah, I think you called before, like a long time ago.
Yeah, it's been a minute. I'm sad.
Yeah.
It's kind of been a minute, but I do like how you say my name. I'm trying to told you. But that right there, we did that a while ago. It's an independent film about a religious Muslim brother. He has a young child and whatnot, and he has to decide if he's going to be a street thug, because all his boys are saying, we need you to help us run these streets. And then his newborn baby, his woman, saying, we need you. And then the religion said they need him. So he got to decide which path he's going to take. And, you know, so it's a good journey. And then I got another movie out about called Vet, about people returning from the war with post-traumatic stress disorder. And it's called Vet, and you know, and I did that with Phil Rock. And stuff like that. And like I said again, that's why I said I like Ben Affleck, because I went after I went on Indiegogo.com, and these filmmakers who are always struggling to get a movie out to the festivals, I go in and I'll invest in them, and they'll put me down as an executive producer credit, and we'll get those things in the festivals and stuff like that. So again, hopefully one day you will see one of my stuffs in there, but. You know, again, congratulations to Ben Affleck for the Golden Globe Award. You know, I was excited about that.
You know what? I'm with you, because I'm a person also that love writing and producing and independent filming and supporting independent filmmakers and all that good stuff. And I'm with you. Some people don't. It seems like some people don't remember. That's how we got to know Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, by not only their work in front of the camera, but being amazing writer, producers, directors, getting their projects funded.
Exactly. And then that other actor started an independent film festival, Robert De Niro. And you know he loves his sister, so y'all sisters listen out there. But, hey. And he's done a lot of independent projects and supported independent films in the festivals and stuff like that. So, you know, a lot of people are showing love. It's these indie films now that's making a lot of noise out there. Now, we can't forget that the movie about, like what she said, "It's all my fault," with that flashlight up under their face. That was an independent film, and that made millions.
Yeah, amazing. Now, what city are you in? You're in Texas or California?
Yeah, I'm in California.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I might be moving to Atlanta though, down there with Tyler Perry and all the other people down there, because California is getting broke, y'all. I mean, every week one of our cities up here going bankrupt. It's sad right now. I mean, things looking bad for the hero of California right now.
Wow, you know, I'm in Mississippi, so visit filmmississippi.org also, because a lot of, you know, major films and independent filmmakers, especially independent filmmakers, love down here anyway. So visit filmmississippi.org if you have time this morning, and sign up for to get information, because if you're coming to Atlanta, you know, you will want to be coming here also to Mississippi, because we have great incentive programs. So when you visit the website, you'll see. Also, so yeah, I know what you're saying. I always have loved Dallas and loved Texas, and I recently returned a couple of weeks ago, and there's a lot of things going on in the entertainment industry there also.
It's been like a migration to Texas.
So you're telling me that I don't have to come to L.A. to make it big?
See, you already big, though. I'm just saying, it is what it is. Hey, you got your show, you doing your thing. You'd be surprised how many people in the archives will be listening to these shows. I'm just saying. I mean, up to the thousands sometimes.
That's the audience. That's why I was like, break it down and let us know where we can listen or find your projects, because
I said again, right now, if they go to YouTube and type in Chrysalis, C-H-R-Y, stay in school, y'all. Chrysalis, Google it. It's called Chrysalis. It's the same as a butterfly cocoon. And it talks about the rebirth of somebody, you know, because, you know, sometimes the world will put you in a box, a cocoon. Your circumstances will put you in a box. You say, oh, man, you know, it's my neighborhood, my poverty got me in a box, in a cocoon, and how am I going to bust out of this, you know? And that's the beautiful part of this movie. You know, when you surround it with drama, you can still come out beautiful. Like when you make a cake and you throw all the ingredients in a bowl, it looks like chaos. You got eggs, you got flour, butter, whatever. It looks like chaos, look nasty. But when you put it in the oven, I just said, you got you some good something. You know what I mean? And so that's what this movie looks like, chaos. Going on inside of the chrysalis, inside of the cocoon. But when he comes out, you know, on the other side, you know, and stuff like that, he has to make a decision. And you know, like, the one thing about butterflies, when they're inside that cocoon, that's violent. You know, imagine you're a worm and you in a cocoon, and then your body's getting torn up while you're inside this thing. You're going through chaos. But when you come out, you're a butterfly. But imagine that poor little butterfly inside that cocoon. He's going through some stuff before you get beautiful. And that's what we got to go through, too, you know, in life. We're going through some stuff inside our cocoon, whether it's inside of poverty, bad relationship, wherever you at, you inside of a cocoon right this second, but you're going to come out beautiful.
Exactly. I have always loved butterflies. As a little girl, I always loved watching that, you know, from a worm to a butterfly. And one of my favorite designers, he used butterflies as part of his logo right there in L.A., Anthony Mark Hankins. He is fascinated with butterflies also. But that is a good metaphor and a good point. It sounds like a very good film also. You said the actress name is Nia.
The director name is Nia Malika Dixon. And the way I found her, I went on Indiegogo. Like those that are interested in getting to the film business, listen to this. Just go on Indiegogo.com, and a lot of filmmakers have gotten movies and projects in work, but they're trying to fundraise it to get it to the festivals, or they're trying to raise funds to finish filming it. And what they'll do, they'll give you producer credit if you invest in a film. And that's how I got involved with the movies. You know, I put like $1,000 into the project. And then they put me down as a executive producer, and then I put some more money down on it to help it get to the festivals and stuff like that. So it's all about, you know, you can do whatever you want to do. You just got to be about it. You know, the law of attraction, you know, like, you know, thoughts become things. So you probably be like, I can't be no filmmaker or whatever, but you'd be surprised when you put yourself in that place. You know, somebody looking for a filmmaker, and they're looking for an investor, you know, as low as $300 in some of the movies there. They said, give us $300 and, you know, we'll put you down or whatever, you know, as a producer credit. So go to Indiegogo.com. It's a good place for those that want to get into the movie business and just these indie films. It's a lot of stuff going on over there.
Yeah, that's a good point, because I've had a few friends to, you know, send me information regarding their work being presented on that website. Like Ty Mock, you know, actor, director, that a lot of us know as Bruce Leroy, but, you know, he is an accomplished actor and director and humanitarian. I know his recent film that he's marketing now, I remember when he first started filming it, he had the information in on Indigo. Is this how you pronounce it? And then another
Indiegogo, right.
Yeah, that's another friend of mine in Philadelphia, Chris Johnson with American Dreaming magazine. I know he promoted his film project on there, but I hadn't visited in a while, so I'm going to check out Miss Nia's info films. And then you mentioned your film. Is it called Vet?
It's called exactly. Both of those are like it's still right. I'm executive producer on both of those movies, so you'll see me in the credits. Phil, P-H-I-L, Phil Rock, R-O-C, he did, if you go to IMDb or something like that, and you look these movies up, the movie is called Vet. The actor in ABC soap opera, he's one of the key characters. I don't have the information in front of me right now, but like I said again, it's about post-traumatic stress disorder.
We have to schedule you as a guest or a guest co-host one day so you can just talk about everything.
Once the movie gets picked up, I'll probably start doing that, because right now I'm just still going to the festivals trying to get these things shot. You know, once I get one sold, I'm just saying, you know, I'll probably do something like that.
Yeah, but be sure to visit that filmmississippi.org, because there are always festivals going on down here, and you never know where you just said it yourself that you might be headed this way. You never know where the big deal happens.
Exactly.
You know, you never know. There's always festivals going on down here, all kind of festivals. Film,
wow,
music.
That's what's up. Uh-huh.
And Dean, what's your last name again?
R-U-S-S-E-L,
Russell.
That's,
okay.
That's the government name.
That's the government name.
Okay.
We should have the website
name
up soon.
Okay.
Her name
okay.
is okay. I'm Dean Russell, and she's Nia Malika Dixon.
Okay.
And stuff like that. And so what? She has her site established. Mine will probably be up in the next couple of months. I'll have like. Because we also doing books and stuff like that. So I'll put the website up.
Because I'm pinning a book that I plan to have an accompanying documentary with. Matter of fact, two books. But the first book would be, since I'm in the Deep South, and I always hear all these stories of a little girl.
Good stories.
The rise, fall, and struggles of the southern middle class. Untold stories of socioeconomic truth. But then also,
right.
I was like, wait, I'm always hearing stories from my friends all across the country, too. So the second writing, and another documentary about the rise and fall and struggles of the American middle class.
Exactly.
You know?
Wow.
Yeah.
There is a difference.
Yeah, you know, so, you know, because we're scattered all over the world and all over the country.
Exactly.
And
that's where they're fighting. They're fighting for the middle class right now, you know, with this election went down.
And this concept came up to me like 6, 7, 8 years ago, this title and book and all this. And I'm seeing, that's the talk now, but it's the honest truth.
Exactly. And the good thing, like I said, I always say when people write a book, make sure you get my editor. The editor is what costs you the money. After that, it's everything is like easy. But my editor charged me $3,000. And that's for content editing to make sure the story is flowing right. Line editing, that check my grammar mistakes. Well. Then they proofread it after you make the changes. They do the proofread. And then they set it up in a book format for you. And then they put it in a Kindle format so you can sell it online. So that's a good deal, y'all, these days. So be prepared to pay about like $3,000, something in that area for your book to get edited.
So you all hear Dean, but it's well worth it, huh? Because people really notice that, do we not?
Exactly. Because when you read a book, you turn pages. One error is cool, but then two or three that start standing out to you, and then they calling the wrong names, like the characters. This say his name was Bessie, but then they calling that character Becky in the middle of the book, and you'd be like, wait a minute, what's her name, Becky? You know, and just simple stuff like that. I'll make the reader frustrated and stuff like that, you know. And you know our attention span ain't that long. Even on the internet, if you know, we look at it for 5 or 10 seconds and we off to the next if that trailer don't catch us, you know. I'm just hanging. So get you a good editor. Make sure you got you a good editor after you get ready to put it out. And that'll be a good investment to invest in yourself. And then after that, you can self-publish it and it'll pay for itself. You know, the next couple of months, you'll get your money back. On Amazon, Kindle, or when you're just doing the book shows or whatever, and just selling it yourself or whatever, you know, at the book signings, you get your money back.
Wow, it's good you're sharing that because there are a lot of new writers and veteran writers listening to the show, of course, and so there are some people saying, "Wow, okay, you know, that's good advice." I know
because everybody wants to self-publish, but they forget that it's a book business, and so if you don't go the commercial route, get your agent, and then go to the publisher. If you're gonna do it yourself, you still have to. You gotta ask yourself a question: is this a hobby, or is it something I want to make money off of and do business? Because if it's a hobby, yeah, you put it online any way you want, and you only sell 3 or 4 copies, and you're good with that. Your family will buy it, and that's it. But if it's a business, you got to do your due diligence and say, okay, you know, if I'm not going to hire an editor, well, I need to research it and I need to do this myself. But the editing got to be tight, and then you got to put it in the right marketplace so people can see it.
Exactly. You have to fish where the fish is. But you have to fish where the fish are. That's what
exactly,
I.
Exactly. Because if we just got our own website and nobody know us yet, and we haven't branded ourselves yet, it'll just sit on our webpage, and we tell people we got our book. We might sell one or two, but if you networking and have your book on, we got a lot of traffic, and you know, and they talking about it, you know, and you getting reviews, or you send your book to places and get reviews, the word will get out about it, and then, you know, boom. You know, but it's all about networking, you know, doing your due diligence.
And what do you think about constructive criticism? Because I know some writers might say, well, I don't like it when I get bad reviews, but what do you say about constructive criticism?
Well, like Terry McMillan said, she said, everybody ain't going to like your baby. Everybody ain't going to think your baby cute. you know, when you have a baby, just keep it real. When you have a baby, everybody, you love it. That's your child. But everybody ain't gonna love you. Everybody ain't gonna think your baby cute. So we gotta get ready for that. You know that, because that's just the reality. You know, when I first started writing and I started sending out, you're gonna get a lot of rejection letters if you send it out to the traditional publishers or agents. That's just the process. You know, you gotta get used to rejection and stuff like that, you know, but eventually you're going to get a yes, you know. So that's the advice I heard from Terry McMillan. She said, everybody don't think your baby cute, so don't take it personal and whatnot. Just keep doing what you're doing and keep moving forward and whatnot. And eventually, you know, and if it's constructive criticism, boom, if they say stuff like, well, this book was not edited right, it had too many mistakes in it, get your stuff edited and then put it out, you know, because you only get one chance for a first impression, and you don't want to be known as the book author that's putting books out with a whole bunch of errors every couple of years or whatever. You know, so.
You make a good point, because I don't know how often you listen to the show, but if you, my cousin Linda was on pretty regular back in the spring and summer. She's a worldwide traveler, live in Dallas,
right.
And she authored a book called Myrna's Adventure. And if you heard her talk, she talked about how her book wasn't edited, I guess properly, with some of the language and grammar with the company that she was with. Oh my God, the company is on the tip of my tongue. Exhibit.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
That's kind of her publisher. And
I don't like Lula. I don't like Exhibitors. I don't like none of them people. They, you know, it's just, you know, I don't like them. But it's depending on what you're looking for, you know. So, 'cause a lot of them say, well, you know, they'll place your book for you, they'll edit for you. But if you're gonna edit for me, it's terrible. I might as well just go hire my editor myself, and then, you know, and then get more of my money back instead of going under a publisher.
Exactly, because like you said, she did I believe pay them X amount for that package, and then
exactly.
The editing wasn't done properly. Not that you you a writer wants their work to be edited the way they present
that's
it.
Your
they
baby.
Want to work properly.
Exactly.
Are you?
You know.
Yeah.
So I hear that. You know. And we all been burnt and go through that. You know, because you just want to see your book on the shelf somewhere. I got caught out like that with poetry one time. Poetry.com. I posted a poem on this website, and they said we charge you $75 for the book. I'm like, what? Say what? But I got to see my poem in the book, so I went and got Hustle, and I bought it, and found out they were just doing a lot of people like that. You know, so we get hustled, but
well,
then
you know
learn.
What? That happened too. I had a poem published. I didn't get my book, but they had a Poetry.com called.
Yep, that's them.
Published a poem of mine called "I Love You," which is about God, and
right.
In I think like 2008. What year were you in the book? We might have been the same year. Oh, you said it was 3 years.
Probably about the same. I gotta go. If I go type my name in there now, it's probably still on that website. And stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so mine, I don't know.
There was
if
a big
I,
controversy went on about that a couple of years ago with the convention. A lot of people went down there and they felt they got hustled and stuff like that. Exactly.
Yeah, I thought Poetry.com was legit.
Well, they got a lot of complaints against them. I would say like this, because I was a major promoter of poets, like, you know, big time poets all across the country. We started off like doing our own poetry cafes, and then it started doing road trips and inviting people back to our thing, and then we started promoting poets. But the thing is, to get your poetry book out there, it's all about branding. If people don't know who you are, there's no demand for you. Nobody gonna buy your stuff. So I would say we start hitting the open mics, let the people hear our poetry or whatever, and then you would bring your CD of poems or your book of poems. at your event, and you would sell them out of there, and you would build your name up featuring at different places or whatever, and then eventually you'll connect with other people and other poets and at venues and whatnot, and they'll hear about you, and then you'll be in a clique, you know, of Chitlin' Circus, for lack of a better word, and you know.
You know, and
you'll be around with everybody else doing it, and after you're a brand, then sell it. But if you put yourself out there and you don't brand yourself, again, that poetry book will sit on that shelf because nobody hear you. But the beautiful thing now is, like, online now, they got different poetry communities online where you can spit a poem and you can get a fan base, you know, and people can hear about you all over the world and stuff like that. And then you can tell them my book coming out, you know.
Exactly, because you mentioned the popularity of this of my internet radio show right here on blogtalkradio.com. I mean,
right.
I'm just amazed at the audience, and I guess some people might say she's always taking the audience, because it's just amazing how the international audience, the American audience, and I love my California listeners. I'm glad that on the West Coast you guys are digging what we're talking about. And
I love you guys. Because a lot of us writers, you know, like me, I'm up. It's 4:37 in the morning right now, and I'm up early in the morning because I'm a writer, and I usually surf the blog talk things or whatever, see who's on or whatever, when I'm having my writing block or whatever, and then after that, I go back to my writing.
Because there are always interesting topics. That's one thing I love about Blog Talk Radio: the niche markets, the niche shows.
Exactly.
It just amazes me the topics or the subject matters the different shows cover. Like, this is an entertainment lifestyle music show, so we talk about, I never run out of topics.
Politics for days on here.
Exactly. Even though I'm not considered a political show, I do talk politics, and I love it when we have civil conversations regarding politics. So it's all about our lifestyle, right? Politics
exactly.
is part of our lives.
Exactly.
I'm a political enthusiast, so I love talking politics, and I love hearing.
And there are some culture wars going on right now. They allow certain people to get married now, so that's a hot discussion button too.
And speaking of politics, today, NoLabels.org is having a meeting today. So those of us that aren't in New York and attending the meeting in person, Republican, Democrat, Independent, we can attend by visiting the website. So I'm glad you mentioned that. NoLabels.org/live. So we can be a part of the meeting anyhow. So it's important for all of us. That's what's up. For real. If we love America, that's what's up. If you love America.
We love America and we love our guns.
Exactly.
We love guns, man.
In God we trust. Exactly.
Hey.
Miracles can happen.
You said Smith and Wesson we trust, what?
I said, in God we trust. Oh, no, you didn't.
Hey, people love their guns in America. I'm just saying.
Exactly. And I have a lot of people who support the right to carry arms to protect yourself listen to the show. So they're loving what you just said.
Hey, it's Smith and Wesson. You know, when they come through that door. You know, I hate that they publish people's names who got guns in their house because, you know, the people who don't have guns, they going to say, hey. Cause you remember, like, back in the day when they had burn security, everybody was putting that security thing on their house, saying it's protected, and they, you know, and they said, well, I ain't going to rob the house because it's protected. But then they would go into other people's houses that didn't have that sticker. Now they're gonna probably do the same thing to those who don't have guns. But, you know, hey, don't let them get twisted. Hey, they come out of that Django movie and they hear about that dent in the back of the black people's head and they believe that mess. Let them go to somebody's black house. And black people are docile. They don't fight. You find out that movie lied. You go find a lot of white people in the emergency room coming out of that movie like, I thought it was the truth.
you're gonna make me check out that movie because I'm behind on my movies also. So I gotta do a lot of catching up with my movies because the last movie I seen was a Bradley Cooper movie, but it wasn't Silver Lining.
See.
It was the movie with me and Zoe.
Wow.
So, different people were
very
there,
controversial
so
movie. A good movie to see. Jamie Foxx beat that ass too.
Spike Lee's reaction to the movie.
Well, see, the thing is, like, this was like something he did before with Inglourious Basterds. Like, it's a revisionist history. Like, it's what you wish they would have did back in history. Like, he wished the black people would have fought back and killed. Like, so he changed it. Or you wish the Jews would have stood up and killed some of them Germans. So it's one of those kind of satire. They call it spaghetti kind of comedies or whatever, but it's one of them kind of things where, you know, you just change it and whatnot. But all these movies are historically wrong. So Spike Lee, he does have a little thing to stand on, but all these movies, you got to remember the genre, it's fiction. You know, they weren't saying that it was like a truth to what was going on, because even in that Lincoln movie, everyone knows that Lincoln hated blacks. It's a matter of record. Even in his debate, he's on record saying...
I'm a time lover of Lincoln. I did not know Lincoln hated blacks. So you're telling me something new.
Well, see, this is a Photoshop, how white people Photoshop history. You know, they tell a lie long enough and we believe it as a truism. And that's a good thing about independent films and whatnot, because the commercial filmmaker ain't going to make that movie because, like, they'll lose all their funding and their advertisements or whatever. So they said, we can't make a movie like that, because you got people in America believe that America exceptionalism. They still tell a lie that we number one in education, we number one in the world. But the truth is, we not number one in education in the world. We're not even number one in money anymore. And this America exceptionalism that people keep spooing out, it's not a truth. It's like a lie.
Wow. And you made a good point, because I feel that way toward you mentioned the school system. I feel that way toward our books, because I've always been a bookworm and always been a history buff. And so that's why you surprised me when you said that, because I thought I was up on my Lincoln. I guess I need to read Bill O'Reilly.
What you would have to do is, like, Lincoln did what they call it. There were 8 debates Lincoln took place in. He participated in 8 debates, and he was debating with this judge, and he was saying, like, you know, they said, well, why should we pick you for anything, because you love the blacks? He said, look, don't get it twisted. I don't want the Negroes to get no stuff like everybody else. I don't want the Negroes to be able to do this. And they didn't have YouTube back then or camera phones back then.
Even President Obama loved Lincoln.
But that's because they didn't do their due diligence. But if you go online, there's certain truths you can't deny, and that's a matter of public record. It's online now about President. Just type in President Lincoln and the debates of 18 something. I think it was 1860 something like that. Doing so Lincoln Lincoln debates the judge. And when you type that in, all that stuff should come up.
Wow. Okay. Because I believe anybody and I love doing my research. I research for.
But the reality is, a lot of these movies are Photoshop history. Of a lot of, you know, like, they change the face. Like for example, in New York City, and we a lot of people might not be familiar with this, but the original architect for the Statue of Liberty, when they drew up the plan. France gave it as a gift to America to celebrate the end of slavery. And so the original drawings were a black woman with chains on her wrist broken, saying slavery is over. But what America did said, no, she can't be black. You know, we can't do that. And so we'll just change her features so she don't like a black woman. And you can put that, and you can make that statue, and we'll accept the gift. Now, they put the gift in New York City, but then after a couple of years to raise money to keep taking care of the statue, they had a poetry contest, and this woman won a poetry contest, and they added that: give us your rich, give us your poor. I mean, give us your poor, give us your rejected, give us that. That's when that was added to the statue. But the original statue was sent to America to celebrate the end of slavery. But what we quote today was after the fact. To raise money to take care of it. So it didn't have nothing to do with the original gift of the statue to America. That was the gift given to America to celebrate the end of slavery. And it was a black woman. But They changed it. Now the original is still in a museum in New York City. The original architect, but that give me your poor, give me that. That had nothing to do with the gift that was given to us. Somebody else, another woman from England or something. She added that to the statue in response to a poetry contest to help take care of the statue. So when we research our history, we find out that history has been photoshopped. You know, and but it's a matter of record though. So you know, so when you see these movies and you see history books, a lot of it's suspect.
You know what? I've always noticed that the features of Lady Liberty were that, you know, was very, I guess. I always noticed her features were not like Caucasian. I'll just put it that way.
See, the reality was, and if you just spend a little time and research that, you'll find a lot of YouTube discussions talking about it, a lot of websites on Google talking about it. The white people know about it. Wherein, like I said again, that poem that was added after the fact. When France originally gave that statue to America, it had nothing to do with give us immigrants. It had nothing to do with that. It was a celebration that slavery had ended, and they don't even talk about that no more. They talk about that poem now because America is ashamed of her history.
Because we need to embrace our history, the true history, like you're saying, the truth, and the checkerboard, the good and the bad. That's how we can.
But white people don't want to hear that truth. The first thing they'll tell you, stop talking about it. Why you want to bring up the race card? Why you want to talk about history? America's the greatest place to live. We don't want you talking about what we did to the Indians. We don't want you talking about what we did to black people. We don't want you talking about what we did to the Japanese.
I've seen some footage of Cat Williams over the this recently, and that's what he's talking about. Why we still have the Redskins and teams like that? And while he was just going
why you still have the White House? Why they still call it White House? I'm just saying. Hey, but you try to change that and watch what happens. They'll try to come up with all kind of laws and everything. You cannot change that. It would be a world discussion, and Texas to talk about leaving America again.
Wow.
It'd be, oh, hell no. You know. So that's the reality that we live in. America's history has been photoshopped.
In grade school, I was taught that the Statue of Liberty represented America being a melting pot.
And that was a great line because like the history teaches that when France gave us that statue, it was originally a black woman with chains on her wrist and chains on her feet broken, celebrating the end of slavery. And now they left the chains on her feet. She still got those broken chains on her feet at the statue. You can see that part. And that hand is up in the air or whatever, holding the torch, and then the other one holding something under it. Well, it was supposed to be celebrating freedom from slavery. But again, that poem that we all celebrate and talk about now, that poem it had nothing to do with that statue when it was given to America. That's almost like some graffiti. Just think of it like the graffiti. After somebody gives you something, somebody put graffiti on it. They had and then a graffiti is celebrated because they like it. It looked pretty. You know, that's what happened. You know, in history, when you look at the Statue of Liberty, it was originally given to America because it was celebrating the end of slavery. And then years later, to help take care of the statue, they had a poetry contest. And this woman who won the poem, go ahead.
I see you're kind of refreshing my memory because I studied black history outside of school because of my brothers and sisters and so on as a kid. So I think I kind of recall reading just a little bit on that. So I got to do my research as a 44-year-old about what you're sharing with me right in the listening audience right now. Okay, I just wanted to put that in right now. Yeah. Okay.
You gotta realize I'm 48 and you kind of still a tenderoni, so you're excused for that. You know, I'm saying.
Yeah.
But
that's
the truth though.
I have yet visited New York City, so I need to get my study on before I do.
And the funny thing is, we've been telling a lie so long, it becomes the truth. And but the good thing about it is, like, it's a matter of record, you know. So thanks to the internet and to history books, the truth is still documented, you know, stuff like that. So it's a matter of record what the original intent of the Statue of Liberty was from French people. When they don't know nothing about that poem, they be like, what? We ain't put that poem on that statue. When we gave it to y'all, it ain't had no poem on it. You know, it was just saying celebrate for the, you know, what did y'all do to it? You wrote a poem on it, you know, but they had nothing to do with that. That was all us here in America, how, you know, they wanted to raise money to take care of that thing. And so they had poetry contests, and the winner of the poem was put on the Statue of Liberty. And whatnot. And from that day, we've been reciting that poem.
So like back to talking about editing, we past the editing, we just added something to it, huh?
We did. That's Photoshop. I'll try to. That's what Photoshop can do. That we Photoshop our history, and that's just one of the things I cited. I'm sure we can go step by step through history and find some other stuff that they Photoshop and whatnot. You know, in designs and. In names or whatever, like you can go down many streets and stuff like that, you know. And this is just like talking about the Moors and stuff like that. How those free African slaves were architects, and they brought back some of the designs from Egypt over here to the Washington. So when you look at the Pentagon and that great water long thing of water, and you look at some designs in Egypt, it's the exact same. So a lot of their designs they got from Egyptians. So copycats, and it don't stop there. This thing gets so deep, you don't want to go in the rabbit hole because you can't handle the truth, because then I'll get to the Bible, and a lot of that was plagiarized. Yeah. And then you'll call to get mad, so I'm going to stop at that part.
And then you go, keep on talking, because woo, because we need to be educated.
People don't want to know the truth, because when you're married to a lie for so long, that becomes your truth, and you can't say nothing about Miss Jenkins, because after a while the lie becomes Miss Jenkins, and if you try to take away people Miss Jenkins and they lie, they're gonna cuss you out, they're gonna call you a devil or a heretic or whatever, but it's a matter of truth of history. They rather burn it. Rather than, you know, some of these histories or whatever like that, you know, and that's just the reality.
That's just reality.
You know, for all we know, Lincoln could have had a black daddy. You never know.
Exactly.
So
that's what I'm saying. Lincoln looked like he was a mixed, like a mulatto. He looked like he was a mixed area.
So you gotta ask him, was President Obama the first black president? I don't know. I'm just saying.
Exactly.
Hey, let's just keep it real. Hey, you know, because Obama mixed too, right? I'm just saying. So let's just keep that real. So when we have these discussions like this, you know, and people have to tell each other, say, well, are you willing to let go of a lie and to a truth? Like, if you're comfortable with that lie, and they've been telling that lie all your life, and then they say, well, now here's the truth. It's a matter of record. They take you to a library, and they open up the books, and they're like, this is the Statue of Liberty. This was the original drawing. Everybody knows it. It's not like a hidden truth. It's like one of them Freedom of Information Acts. If you really want to know, you can give your information, and you can find out stuff. And because, you know, they just not publicize it, because who benefits from that, you know? So they're not going to do that. You
but
know, they'd rather you think about a poem. They'd rather you think that America was founded on bring us your poor, your rich. But that was because of a dark, embarrassing history that America had slaves. And once slavery was ended, that statue was given to celebrate the end of slavery. And rather than talk about that conversation, they'd rather talk about a poem that was added to it, that was tagged on it, you know, later. So rather than the truth. That's an easier conversation to have.
Just think about how the history would have unfolded if we had kept it and accepted it as is.
Well, as it was, like, Can you imagine black people would embrace the Statue of Liberty, people of color would embrace it more?
History would unfold it totally differently.
Wow. See, you know, and I say that every time I look at a magazine with these models. If you take the Photoshop off of it, the picture will look totally different. You will see the blemish. If you take the foundation off of a lot of the sisters right now that's listening to this conversation, you know, you will see some pimples, some uneven colored skin, and everything won't look pretty as we think it is. And that's the same with history. When you take off the makeup and you take off the foundation and the blemish or whatever is seen for what it is, you know, celebrate it. You know, you can say, well, you know, America, you know, they'll call you a communist if you try to bring up stuff like this. They say, well, what benefit is it? America is still the greatest place to live in the world and blah, 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 blah. And I say, well, America doesn't want to have a real conversation. They'll shut you down and call you ungrateful or whatever, whatever. But I'm saying, like, let's tell the truth. Let's have a comment. Like I want to do a movie, but I know I don't have the funds yet, but I want to do the movie about the people who built Washington, D.C. or whatever. I want to do that movie. You know, that would be a biopic. You know, and somebody that's real, how it really went down, you know, and stuff like that.
Who built Washington, D.C. and the and cities across America? Because I tell everyone, I live in the capital city of Mississippi, which you all know a lot about in history. And
wow.
I advise people, you should come to Mississippi, for you especially in filmmaking, but those of you that are history buffs, like you, you come. And you mentioned the architecture. There's something about the buildings, the historical buildings. Just in the capital city, you see the historical buildings. And
let me do full disclosure. Like, I'm not a filmmaker. Right? Full disclosure, I'm an executive producer. I invested in films and became got an executive producer credit. So I connected with filmmakers who are already making a movie, and I became an investor in there, and I got an executive producer credit. Just this full disclosure thing, but I'll eventually be doing my own movie soon. But right now, I just partnered with you who are already doing their movies and got an executive producer credit.
Exactly. I'm with you on that because my thing is I always wanted to get my own films out there also, but I always support independent filmmakers, and I'm getting back into going on auditionings and auditions, especially when I'm going to start, like you're talking about Atlanta, I'm going to resume going back and forth to Dallas. I'm going to be going looking for DJ 9 Dallas, and it's so much going on.
Let me ask you a question. Do you got any monologues recorded yet?
Do
you have any monologues recorded, like skits of your favorite scenes, like maybe a 5-minute dialogue from your favorite scene from a movie? Have at least 3 of those on YouTube somewhere, on a reel somewhere.
Okay, I do that because I'm all over the internet, YouTube channels, Ustream, and all that.
I'm just saying, like, when people put their reels together and they present themselves to these directors or whatever, a lot of times they want to see your monologues, you know. And so you, a lot of actors go to schools and take classes so they can develop a monologue and just kill it, you know. So when people look at your monologue and your reel, they'll be like, okay, that's what I want for this movie. That's how a lot of actors are. They have at least 3 or 4 monologues on a tape somewhere, YouTube or wherever, or on their website. Where you can go there and you can get the vibe of them and whatnot and see how intense they are, how passionate they are in dialogue as an actor. Can they capture that? So I just like would just share that with you. Like, you know, if you haven't yet, definitely record you some monologue. You know, like a 5-minute dialogue of your favorite scene from a movie.
Okay. Recently, I've been doing work online with Amy Jo Behrman, who's based right there in L.A. I know you know of her. So I've been, you know, doing a lot of studying with her. And, I, of course, I'm a product of New State Theater here studying there. But I'm wishing this guy in New York, his name on the tip of my tongue, is always inviting me to events. And I know he came down this way for an event, and I'm like, oh, golly, Atlanta or New Orleans. I told him he should come to to New Orleans also, the same classes that he invites people to in New York, you know, to come down
right.
To this southern region. But I love Amy Jo Behrman's teachings. So I'm sure you know her. But
she has a lot of stuff online stuff going on as well.
Exactly. And she'll send you, like, private emails. And I know, like, a couple of months ago, she sent, like, an invite. If you're in L.A., come to my house. So I'm like,
right,
expose to people like that really want you to do good and really want you to be successful.
It's a small village of people that's doing stuff like they really love this thing and they want you to do good. You know what I mean? And that's
like
the reality of it.
And like you're sharing with the listeners and I, for us to get on real. Like monologues like 5-minute monologues of our favorite scenes from our favorite movies, right?
Exactly. That's how a lot of people are getting picked up now on YouTube. Like, for example, that guy who does the voice of Training Day, Denzel, he was on there doing monologues of different voices of different characters, and he got a fan base on his YouTube for doing that. And then they came looking for him to go on Saturday Night Live and then to do other things, you know. So that's the way people are doing now. They say you know as an actor, you know, you have to. It's necessary to have a monologue these days. Like, you know, there's no way getting around that, you know, because you know, just say you come to somebody and you know, and you meet them real quick. You don't have time to chat them up, but you just say, here's my card. Go to my website and check out my monologue. Bam, that's it. And they go check it out. They're like, "Wow, and they get caught up into your character, your monologue. Like, you know, you be doing some Langston Hughes. Life for me ain't been no Crystal Stale. You can be doing, ain't I a woman? You know, hey, you can just be doing whatever. But you captured that scene.
You and I are on the same page. I'm always thinking that monologue too.
See? I'm just, and the scenes like from Oprah, all my life I had to fight. I had to fight my city. I had to fight my brothers. I had to fight that person that cut in front of me at McDonald's. All my life I had to fight. I needed that coffee. I was getting late to work, you know. But that monologue, you know, and have fun with some. Have some of them be serious monologue, then others, you know, so you can show your level. You can be doing some comedy, like I did a voice like one of my characters. I'm like. I do the Michael Black character, like the black African who always like, oh my goodness, this is what it is. I am so black. Oh my goodness, I am so black right now. I woke up and I said, oh my God. I look in the mirror and I brush my teeth. I said, oh my God, I am a nigga lover. Oh my goodness, this is what it is. That is so wrong. Oh my goodness, this is what it is. I am so wrong. You know, and you just do little routines or whatever. And you know, you have fun, whatever, and then you can make somebody cry by looking at one of your monologues, and you're talking about something serious, you know, and stuff like that. That's what they look for, the depth, you know. Give them something serious, give them something, you know, just so they can show your range. And they got different websites and different studios where you can go at and they record your monologue for you. Wherein, you know, you go there and they record it for you. And stuff like that, and they got online. Like, I'm sure you know your listeners can Google. You know, say I want to record my monologue, but what's a good place for me to do that at? And they got cheap places set up for actors to go record their monologues and stuff like that. So that's your selling point. That's your business card.
Yeah. Wow, that is good advice. And on Monday's Love the Spotlight on health and fitness topics. And so some people have to be in like good shape.
Exactly.
I don't think people realize. I'm like you. I promote a lot, and just working with artists and it's all in books and just everyday life. Have to be healthy, you know. Have to be in good shape.
Have to be.
And I'm working on getting back in top shape. But what is some kind of advice that you give people to, you know, to be in at least good shape enough dealing with their endurance?
Well, again, it's like not so much as dieting, but lifestyle, you know. Look at your lifestyle and say, now, what am I eating? You know, am I eating a lot of junk food? Am I not exercising, you know, or I'm not walking or whatever? It's about you look at your lifestyle and you ask yourself this question, what's the worst thing that can happen if I do this? What's the worst thing that can happen if I and what's the best thing that can happen if I do this? You know, and that's the question when you ask yourself, you say, okay, the best thing that can happen is you can lose this weight and you can attract more people to you because of the law of attraction, you know.
Yeah.
The worst thing that can happen, you know, people, you can get some kind of health condition if you don't do anything. So if you do nothing, what's the worst can happen? And if you do nothing, what's the best can happen? You know, and you ask yourself these questions because it's all about life. It's not about when people diet, anybody can lose that weight. But then if you don't change your lifestyle, guess what? You know, that's going to be – you're going to be back in that situation again. So I tell people to take a look at your lifestyle, and say, well, what I'm trying to do, my lifestyle has to be in a certain place. Like singers, they couldn't drink milk no more like they wanted to because milk has all that liquid mucus on it, and it coats your neck, so you can't sing like you want. You can't go into a venue that got is where it's all – where the heat is all crazy – and stuff like that, where they're blowing the fan on you all crazy, because that'll kill your voice. Yeah, you'll hear a lot of singers where you blowing the fan on AC, they'll tell you, you got to turn that off. When I get ready to sing, you ain't going to kill my voice. You know, so it's about lifestyle and whatnot, and you learn about your craft. Your body is an instrument, right? So if your body is an instrument, you got to be about learning your instrument and making your instrument the best way it can be.
Oh, that's some great advice. Thank you. You see, I'm quiet as I don't know what, and listeners are
I'm thinking while I'm talking. He is still talking right now. Oh my goodness, he is still talking. Oh, this is so wrong. He is coming on the show, and he is still in my country. Oh my goodness, we would have told him, "You are talking too much, you motherfucker. You are talking too much." Oh my goodness. See, so that's what I'm thinking. He is talking too much right now.
That's good lifestyle advice for all listeners, not just those of us that are in the entertainment business, in the fashion and entertainment business, but that's good advice for everybody. So that has motivated some to keep their resolution of what's the worst and what's the best. And if we don't do anything, most definitely the worst will get worse. But making little steps at least helps. But, yeah, And you make a good point because people feel sluggish. I see people of all sizes and weight. You know, I always talk about, well, I'm tired, I'm sluggish. Well, you know, there are long hours out there, especially when you're in the entertainment industry.
And I say this one more thing about the tired that might not deal with the weight. It's the weight comes in two different ways. The weight could be people that's around you in your circle. And you have to take a real good look at who's in your circle because that could drain your energy too, you know. And so you're looking at who's in your circle, you got to be like
the weight, not like spiritual weight too, the weight around your aura, around your being.
And people that you bring in your circle bring energy too that you don't need in your life. So exactly. You know, and that could be draining. And so if you try to do something, move forward and be positive, but you got people in your circle, girl, that's gonna be too much work. Why are you doing that? I don't know why. Well, you know, you can't. You know, because they don't see themselves doing it, so they kind of project what they can't do on you. You said, well, you can't do it, but me, you know, I can do it. I'm just saying because I'm going to do it. And so you know, at the end of the day, you might got to do some spring cleaning. You know, and again, you can't put your, like a computer cannot be in a hot place. They say your instrument cannot be in any kind of environment. You take a computer and it will tell you it needs to be in a cool environment, you know, because if it's too hot, it can mess up some of the stuff that's inside of your computer. So he says store it in a cool place. Well, your instrument needs to be in a good environment. If you're around a lot of negative people, places, and things, that's going to mess up your art, you know, and you go into audition with all that negativity in your mind. Gang will pick you. You ain't even got no money to get there, you know, and you get all that in you. You be like, oh my God, they, you know. So again, when it comes to your lifestyle, you have to change, you know, who's in your inner circle too, because not just your physical body, but your body of energy around you. You know what I mean? Like, what's in my aura? What's messing with my aura right now? You know, and you look at that. You say this is gonna mess my whole chakra energy all up. So you be like, hey, you know what? You can't be in my circle. No, not you. No, hey. That ain't gonna work. Let me do my mom. You know.
Because I know one of my friends that I know in real life, I know on my Facebook page, I felt some negative energy on my Facebook page a few weeks ago. And I said that, well, if you don't like me, or if you don't dig me, or don't like my, you know, don't vibe my page, then unfriend me, you know? And and one of my friends was like, well, what you mad about? I'm like, I'm not mad about anything, but I could vibe like this negative energy on my page.
Yeah,
you know,
Facebook could be
really
like,
if you really don't like being my Facebook page friend, it might be people I know in real life. I'm like, just unfriend me, please. You know, because
and it'd be your friends that they act like they for you, but they jealous or they envious, and they're not really for you. You got a lot of energy like that around too. So that's the thing, like that, you know.
Right,
wow.
I can feel that energy. And I'm like, make room for people that really do want to network. Because like you and I are talking, that's how my pages are. You know, we really want to effectively network and help one another. You know?
Exactly. See, the thing is, again, we need to make a decision, because a lot of people who get into the industry, they haven't made the decision. They're still working on hobby mode. See, when stuff is like, when you're treating something like a hobby, you're not putting your all into it. You're not, you know, you're not doing your due diligence. You just say, well, I want to sing, or I want to act, or I want to do this, you know. But you're not really giving it like an art, you know. You're treating it like a hobby. But when you treat something like a business, you notice your lifestyle changes and your commitment to it changes, you know. And that's the problem. A lot of people, they argue and they get mad. I know some actresses today, they'd be like, I they just hating on the sisters. They hating on. I said, how many auditions did you go to this week? Did you go to any auditions this week? And they'll be like, why should I go? You know, and, you know, ain't no roles for no black people. Ain't no. I'm like, look, at the end of the day, if you go in and you don't have no range, like, in other words, when you go into auditions, they want you to write down how many accents can you do. If you can do different accents, that puts you in another level. You know, maybe you can do a London accent or a UK accent or African accent, you know, or speak French or whatever. See, when you study your craft and you walk into that audition, they'll be like, okay, we already got 100 dark-skinned people. And this character needs to be dark-skinned, but they got to be able to speak Spanish. Which one of y'all speaks Spanish? And they'll be like, oh, a hand go up. You know what I mean? And when you study in your craft, you do things that sets you apart from the tribe. You know, and get you those roles and stuff like that. So, so that's the reality right there. You know, you got to stop treating it like a hobby and treat it like a business. And then opportunities just start opening up, and it starts separating you from the tribe. And the tribe's going to get mad at you, of course, because they want you to be with them. But, you know, they're not going to do what you do. You can't bring everybody with you when you go to that next level. And that's just the reality. You know, everybody ain't going to do what you do. Everybody don't want it like you want it.
Exactly. And